Some of this introduction material that I'm about to give you is courtesy of a sermon that is on our website by Mr. Roy Holiday. And it was adapted along with some of my own material as an introduction to this message. I found this and I thought it was very good. And I wanted to acknowledge Mr. Holiday. Why do we eat food? What's the purpose of eating? We all like to eat. And we realize that food gives us strength and energy. We all know that we must sustain our physical life or we will die. How often do we eat? We generally eat two or three times a day, you know, our meals and or maybe snacks, of course, in between. But we seldom forget to eat because our bodies constantly remind us every day. And if we miss a meal, they constantly remind us, our body, that we are hungry and have need of food. And if we do skip a meal or we fast, we become weak and our minds can become dull. I found the following interesting facts on the National Geographic website concerning what they call, quote, the human footprint. The human footprint. The average person in the United States, not the world, but the United States, consumes the following in a lifetime. And they had pictures of some of these things in mass, what you would consume, the average person. 12-ounce cans of soda, 43,371, the average person would consume in a lifetime. Loaves of bread, 4,476. Eggs, 19,826. Gallons of milk, 1,632. Potatoes, 20,000. Oranges, 12,888. Pounds of hamburger meat, 5,380 pounds. Chickens, or the equivalent, 2,400 chickens. Now, they also had on their site something else about personal hygiene. The average person in their lifetime takes 28,433 showers. 28,433. And they use 198 bottles of shampoo. They use 656 bars of soap, or the equivalent in liquid form. Tubes of toothpaste, 389. And toothbrushes, 156. It's amazing what we consume in a lifetime. Well, one way, brethren, that we can understand how the conversion process works, our spiritual conversion, is to compare it to how our physical bodies use food and convert it into energy. How we use these 19,000 eggs that we would eat in a lifetime. How that energy is carried throughout our body into every cell, where the cells perform their functions, where they eliminate waste from the body, they reproduce when necessary, and they perform functions working together in the organs themselves. But physically, our bodies can get into a rundown condition if we do not eat properly. We then need food and rest to build ourselves back up, to build both our body and mind back up. We need to be renewed with food on a daily basis. Well, turn with me, brethren, to Romans chapter 12, and we'll read verse 2. Romans chapter 12, verse 2. A very familiar scripture. Paul writes in Romans 12, verse 2, "And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." To be renewed in your mind. What exactly does that mean, to be renewed in your mind? and to be transformed by the renewing of your mind. You see, we must be renewed spiritually in our minds. Just as the physical body is renewed with food, we have to be renewed spiritually. In Ephesians 3, verse 20, if you'll turn there with me, the apostle talks further about this renewal. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20. He writes in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20, "Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, to him be glory in the church, by Jesus Christ to all generations forever and ever." The power that is within us, brethren, the power that works within us is God's Holy Spirit that he's given to us as a precious gift beyond our understanding. It is God within us and his power within us. It is the power that sustains us. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 16, if you'll turn with me, please, to 2 Corinthians 4, 16, Paul talks about this some more. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 16. He writes to the Corinthians, "Therefore we do not lose heart, even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. Just as we need to be renewed physically on a daily basis, we need to be renewed or recharged spiritually on a daily basis as well. If we do not do so, we will begin to weaken spiritually and begin to drift away from God and the things of God. This renewal that we need is by the power that is within us and works within us, God's Holy Spirit, as Paul has already said, and it is facilitated by something that we are to do daily. That is prayer, study of God's Word, meditation on spiritual things, and fasting. Now, we don't do fasting every day. If you fast every day, I would like to see you, because you're not human. But let's focus in on prayer and how it relates to this spiritual daily renewal. You know, I have 8 ways that we can benefit and be spiritually renewed on a daily basis via prayer and God's Holy Spirit. Today we'll look at 4 of them, and then we'll look at the other 4 in a second message. The title of this message is Daily Renewal by Prayer, Part 1, Daily Renewal by Prayer. The Bible has a lot to say about it. And I wanted to say up front, what we're going to talk about is things that we pray, how we pray to God and what we pray about and what we do in our prayer. But it is not all-inclusive. But it's our prayer and how it relates to renewal. Spiritual renewal. The first concept of renewal via daily prayer that we'll consider today is repentance. Repentance. In Romans chapter 2, if you'll turn back to Romans with me, Romans chapter 2, we'll read verses 1 through 4. Romans chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. Paul writes to the Romans in Romans 2, verse 1, "Therefore you are inexcusable, O man, whoever you are who judge, for in whatever you judge another, you condemn yourself, for you who judge practice the same things. But we know that the judgment of God is according to truth against those who practice such things. And do you think this, O man, you who judge those practicing such things and doing the same, that you will escape the judgment of God? Or do you despise the riches of his goodness, forbearance, and long-suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leads you to repentance? God's goodness, his patience with us, brethren, leads us to repentance. We need to stay connected to him and allow his Spirit to lead us to personal repentance on a daily basis, because we sin every day, don't we? Let's look at repentance a little more. Let's turn over to Job chapter 9. Job chapter 9, we'll read verse 20. As human beings, sometimes it can be very difficult to see our own faults and our own sin. And that was Job's problem, wasn't it? He couldn't see his own sin. Job chapter 9, verse 20. Job writes, "Though I were righteous, my own mouth would condemn me. Though I were blameless, yet my mouth would prove me perverse." If you say that you are righteous, your own words would prove otherwise. All of us, brethren, fall short and have sins in our life. Can we see them? Can we really see them? In Job chapter 40, verses 1 through 4. Job chapter 40, verse 1. "Moreover, the Lord answered Job." This is when he was asking him, "Where were you, Job, when I was laying the foundations of the earth and all the things of nature, and I was creating all of this?" "Moreover, the Lord answered Job and said, 'Shall the one who contends with the Almighty correct him? He who rebukes God, let him answer it.' Then Job answered the Lord and said, 'Behold, I am vile. What shall I answer you? I lay my hand over my mouth. Once I have spoken, but I will not answer. Yes, twice, but I will proceed no further.'" Job finally began to get it, that even though he was an upright man, he was not perfect. There were sins and faults in his life that he was blinded to. But then in chapter 42 of Job, in verse 5 through 6, he says, "I have heard of you." Job says this to the Lord, "I have heard of you by the hearing of the ear, but now my eye sees you. Therefore I abhor myself, and I repent in dust and ashes." He acknowledged his sin before God. He could finally see clearly his own sin. And he was repented. Then he was repentant. You know, another person in the Bible went through a great deal, has a lot to say about repentance, and that is David. Let's turn over to Psalm chapter 40. I'm going to spend a lot of time in the Psalms in this message, because David had a lot to say about many of these things relating to prayer and renewal by prayer. In Psalm chapter 40, we'll read verses 11 through 12. Psalm chapter 40, verse 11. Do not withhold your tender mercies from me, O Lord. Let your loving kindness and your truth continually preserve me. For innumerable evils have surrounded me. My iniquities have overtaken me, so that I am not able to look up. They are more than the hairs of my head. Therefore, my heart fails me. Can you imagine David saying this to God? He was no doubt in prayer, on his knees or prostrate. He said that I am not even able to look up, that my iniquities are like the hairs on my head, and therefore my heart fails me. He could see his own sin at that point, and he saw God's mercy and loving kindness toward him. He acknowledged his sin. And he certainly did this while in deep, heartfelt prayer. I can't imagine you saying this to God as you're just walking down the path. In Psalm 51, which isn't too far away, let's go there. We're going to be in Psalm 51 a little bit today. Psalm 51. This psalm is incredibly deep. And when I first came into the church and was reading the Bible, this psalm really stuck out in my mind of how deep it really is. In Psalm 51, verse 1, he writes, "Have mercy upon me, O God, according to your loving kindness, according to the multitude of your tender mercies, blot out my transgressions." In verse 16, he says, "You do not desire sacrifice, or else I would give it. You do not delight in burnt offering. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart. These, O God, you will not despise." He says, God, you desire a broken and a contrite heart. Well, contrite means to be broken in spirit, to be humbled in admitting your fault. Letting go of trying to justify, rationalize, direct fault away from yourself, and excuse the sin. You finally come to grips with it in your mind that you did sin. And you take ownership. Your pride is broken, and you're truly contrite. In this case, brethren, I have to believe when David was saying these words to God that he was in deep prayer. We'll come back to Psalm 51 a little bit later. But right now, let's turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 7. As we consider repentance. 2 Corinthians chapter 7, we'll read verses 9 and 10. 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 9 through 10. Paul writes to the Corinthians. This is verse 9 of 2 Corinthians chapter 7. "Now I rejoice, not that you were made sorry, but that your sorrow led to repentance. For you were made sorry in a godly manner, that you might suffer loss from us in nothing. For godly sorrow produces repentance leading to salvation, not to be regretted, but the sorrow of the world produces death." Godly sorrow, a broken and a contrite spirit, leads to true repentance, real change in your life. Do we have godly sorrow? Have we reached the point that we acknowledge our sin before God and are truly contrite before Him about it? Or are we still justifying or diverting fault? Do we take that before God in prayer and ask Him to help us to truly be contrite? In Proverbs 28, if you'll turn there, back to Proverbs with me, Proverbs 28, verse 13. Solomon says, writes Proverbs 28:13, "He who covers his sins will not prosper, but whoever confesses and forsakes them will have mercy." Are you covering any of your sins, or are you facing them? God can help you to face them and to see clearly. In Psalm 86, verse 1 through 5, since we're close by here. Psalm 86, verse 1 through 5. Prayer of David. And it was a prayer. "Bow down your ear, O Lord. Hear me, for I am poor and needy. I have a broken spirit. I realize I need you, God, that I am poor and that I am a sinner. Preserve my life, for I am holy. You are my God. Save your servant who trusts in you." And we are holy brethren as well, because we have God's Spirit within us. And we have been set apart at this time, not because of our greatness, but because God has called us now to higher service. But we are holy, as David was holy. "Be merciful to me, O Lord, for I cry to you all day long." Was this in heartfelt prayer? You better believe it was. "Rejoice the soul of your servant, for to you, O Lord, I lift up my soul. For you, Lord, are good and ready to forgive, and abundant in mercy to all those who call upon you." Do you call upon God in repentance? In true repentance, asking Him to forgive you for the sins that you've committed in the last 24 hours? Because we've all fall short. Do you ask God to help you to be repentant and to see your sin? Because God will forgive us if we truly repent. We need to reach out to God in prayer and repent every day. Let's look at another aspect of renewal as it relates to prayer, and that is cleansing. Cleansing. We're here in Psalms chapter 19, verse 12. And it's not from taking... how many showers was it? 28,000 showers. Psalm 19, verse 12. David says something very interesting here. He says, "Who can understand his errors? Who can understand his own errors? Cleanse me from my secret faults." Secret faults, brethren, are faults that you have that you perhaps cannot see very clearly. Because maybe it's pretty painful to look there. Maybe it's pretty shameful. Do you ask God to cleanse you of your secret faults? To help you to see them and repent of them and get rid of them with His help? In Psalm 51, in fact, maybe we should just put a marker there in Psalm 51 because we will come back there several times. I think my marker is not here. Psalm 51, verse 2. David writes, "Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin." Wash me thoroughly and cleanse me from my sin. We'll talk some more about what he really means here, what it means to be cleansed. But hold your place here and let's turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 11. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 11. Paul was talking to the Corinthians, and he was talking about fornicators, idolaters, adulterers, homosexuals, thieves, covetous people, drunkards. And he says in verse 11, "As such were some of you, but you were washed, but you were sanctified or set apart, but you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God." We were washed and continue to be washed by the sacrifice of Jesus Christ as we repent of our sins, brethren. We need to be continually washed because we haven't reached the point where we don't have any more sin in our life because we keep committing sins. But hopefully we're struggling against it and we're overcoming and we're making progress. And we are forgiven by and washed by the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, but also by the Spirit of our God, as our mind is cleansed by God's Spirit. Let's explore that just a little bit further. Because there are two types of cleansing. There's cleansing from sinful acts, of us being forgiven of our sin. And there's inner cleansing of wrong thoughts and attitudes and the filth that can be in our minds. We need to be cleansed of both. Because these things in our minds can be sin or they can lead to sin depending on what we do with them. If we don't get rid of them. Back in Psalm 51 verse 7, if you held your place there, David says, "Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow." Now, this is very interesting, hyssop, because hyssop is a plant that has leaves on it that have very fine hairs. So you can dunk it in something, and it'll hold on to whatever that is. In the first Passover in Egypt, when they were smearing blood on the doorways, they were using hyssop. Because you could dunk that in or put some on it, and it was like a paintbrush. So there's a connection of purging with hyssop in the sacrifice of Christ as we are purged and washed of our sins by his blood that was spilled, and we are washed clean, as David was inspired to write. So this has a dual meaning. You could use this hyssop to apply whatever you're cleaning with, but also there's the connection back to what happened in the Passover. In Hebrews chapter 9, if you'll turn there, in Hebrews chapter 9, and keep your place here in Psalm 51, Hebrews chapter 9, verse 14. Paul writes to the Hebrews, "How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, cleanse your conscience from dead works to serve the living God?" So here we see this connection of purging of our sins by the blood of Christ, and how it cleanses us from dead works so that we can turn and serve the living God. And what are these dead works? What are dead works? They're works that lead to death. They're works that lead to death. In 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 1, Paul talks some more about cleansing. 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 1. Having these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. We are to cleanse ourselves by God's Spirit. Do you ever go to God in prayer, brethren, and say, please cleanse me of these attitudes that are in my mind or these thoughts? Do you ask God to help you in this way? Because we need to be cleansed just by living in this culture that we live in, where we are bombarded with filthiness from every direction on a daily basis. You know, I'm watching The Mentalist or NCIS or whatever you're watching, and they're showing advertisements for movies. I'm like, I don't even want to see this advertisement. We've talked about this. It's like things come into your mind, brethren, that you're not looking for. It just comes in. Do you ask God to get rid of that on a daily basis? Just because of the society that we live in and the filth that can accumulate. Sometimes because we are looking for it even, and we're not getting rid of it as we should. You know, when David was on a rooftop and he looks out and he sees Bathsheba bathing, what should he have done? He should have fled the scene, as Joseph did. And he should have gone to a private place and prayed to God and asked God to cleanse his mind of what he had just seen and the wrong thoughts that had entered his mind. But he did not. And he paid a heavy price. Do we ask for God to cleanse us so that thoughts that we have and attitudes that we have cannot grow and develop into outward sin and into bitterness and resentment and anger and envying? Do we nip it in the bud? Do we ask God to cleanse us? In Titus chapter 3, if you'll turn there next with me, Titus chapter 3. We'll read verses 3 through 7. Titus chapter 3, verse 3. For we ourselves were also once foolish. And we have been foolish, haven't we, at times? Every one of us, and I include myself. Disobedient, deceived, serving various lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. But when the kindness and love of our God, our Savior, toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy, He saved us through what? The washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that having been justified by his grace, we should become heirs according to the hope of eternal salvation. God's Spirit within us can cleanse our mind. Do you ask for it? Do you care enough to ask God for it on a daily basis? You know, Satan will attack all of us. And I truly believe that his attacks have stepped up recently. I look at myself and I've talked to others. Satan will attack you continually, seeing if anything will stick, anything, whatever it might be, to try to find that little opening where he can get in and just plant a little seed that can lead to bitterness or anger. We need God to cleanse us continually and to help us. If you'll turn back to Psalm 51, verse 10, hopefully you've marked it. Psalm 51, verse 10, David says in prayer, I believe that this had to be on his knees. It is such a deep prayer and heartfelt. He says, create in me a clean heart, O God. Create in me a clean heart, a heart without the filth of the flesh, without selfishness and anger and bitterness, idolatry, and wrong attitudes. Do we ask for it as well? The third benefit of daily prayer that we'll consider today is the aspect of healing. Healing. We're here in Psalms. If you'll turn over to Psalm 41, hold your place here in Psalm 51. Psalm 41. We'll read verse 4. Psalm 41, verse 4. David writes, I said, Lord, be merciful to me. Heal my soul, for I have sinned against you. David needed to be healed as a result of his sin, and he realized that. The Hebrew word that is used here for healing is rapha, R-A-P-H-A. It's pronounced rapha, R-A-P-H-A. And this Hebrew word means to mend, to cure, repair thoroughly, to make whole. So to mend, to cure, repair thoroughly, and to make whole. David was asking for God to heal him because of his sin. Back in Psalm 51, which hopefully you've held your place, in verse 10, we just read half of the verse. Let's read the second part. He says, renew a steadfast spirit within me. Now, the King James Version translates the word that is used here for steadfast as a right spirit. The word is K-U-W-N, and is pronounced kun, K-U-W-N. And this word is an unusual word because it has a great many different nuanced meanings. It can mean erect or to stand perpendicular, to be upright, to be fixed, to be stable. And there's even more meanings that go beyond that. But David was praying here. He says, renew a right spirit within me. Let's pick that one. I think it's the closest word. I think the King James had it the best. Renew a right spirit within me. Now remember what David had done. He had been carried away by lust, and then deception, and then murder. His thinking had gone off the tracks and had led him deep into sin and far away from God. He killed a man and took his wife. The penalty for that was death by the law of Moses, or the Mosaic law. But David needed to be set straight, to be set upright in his thinking again. He needed to be healed spiritually. And he came to realize it after God had revealed it to him through the prophet Nathan. He needed to be healed. His thinking had gone completely off the track with that sin and how it kept leading and escalating. In Matthew chapter 13, verse 15, if you'll turn there with me and hold your place here in Psalm 51. Matthew chapter 13, verse 15. Jesus has something to say that's interesting here. Matthew 13, verse 15. By the way, I'd like to thank Mr. Mincy for setting this fan up here. It is fantastic. Matthew 13, verse 15. Jesus is saying here, "For the hearts of this people have grown dull. Their ears are hard of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears, lest they should understand with their hearts and turn, so that I, Jesus, should heal them." You know, Jesus will heal the hearts of those who turn to Him. Our hearts now and the hearts of everyone later. Because we need to be healed in our heart to get our thinking to be on track. In Ephesians chapter 4, the Apostle Paul talks about this in greater detail of renewal. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 17 through 24. "This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord," he writes to the Ephesians, this is Ephesians 4, verse 17, "that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk, in the futility of their mind, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God, because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling, have given themselves over to lewdness to work all uncleanness with greediness. But you have not so learned Christ, if indeed you have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning your former conduct the old man which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and what? Be renewed in the spirit of your mind, that you put on the new man which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness." This is something, brethren, that is what our conversion is. Our mind is being transformed. But there is a renewal that we go through on a daily basis, because we can slip back toward that old man, and we need to be pulled back. And we need to ask God to help us and to heal us. We need to have him heal us spiritually so that we can get back on track. You know, after David's sin, he needed to be healed in his thinking. He needed to repent. He needed to be cleansed, and he needed to be healed. We need to be healed because we can get off track and start running in the wrong direction of anger or bitterness or something else. Do you ask God to heal you? Do you? In Philippians chapter 3, verse 13 and 14, Philippians chapter 3, verse 13 through 14. Paul writes to the Philippians, he says, "Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended. But one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Jesus Christ." We need to forget those things that are behind, that are behind us. What we have done, what I've done, we need to forget about them. If we've repented, truly repented, God forgets about it. We need to forget about it as well. And God can heal us of guilt. We need also, brethren, to forget what others have done as well. And God can also heal us of that, so that we can keep moving forward toward the goal, the unbelievable goal of glory with God. Because all these things, brethren, these little things that we think are bigger right now, many of them truly are not, and we will ultimately forget them in the future. We will forget the little hurts and even the big hurts that we've suffered because of others, but also what we've suffered because of our own sin. We have to stay focused on the big goal and to keep moving forward to fulfill the purpose for our existence and our very destiny, to be with God forever in His kingdom and to be glorified with Him. You know, in Psalm 103, and we're not going to turn there, in verse 11 through 12, it says, "For as the heavens are as high above the earth, so great is His mercy toward those who fear Him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has He removed our transgressions from us." God forgives us and forgets our sin upon our repentance. We need to forget the past and move forward. We need to ask God to heal us when we get off track, including wrong things, wrong thinking. We need to forget the past and keep moving forward toward the goal, because all else pales in comparison to that goal. The fourth and last aspect that we'll consider today of daily renewal through prayer is the aspect of God renewing His strength in us. His strength in us. You know, we look at the life of David, and I'm sure David asked, "Why did God allow this to happen to me?" And we've talked about this before. He tells me, and looking at it from David's way, from David's side of thinking, first God tells me that I'm going to be the king of Israel. Then I get thrown out, and now they're trying to kill me. And he went through this trial, and it was a severe trial. And there was a reason for it. But David, several times, came to the point where he was at the end of his rope. He was truly at the end of his rope. Let's turn back. If you held your place in Psalm 51, that'll get you close to Psalm 31. Psalm 31, we'll read verse 9 through 14 and 23 through 24. Psalm 31, verse 9. David writes, "Have mercy on me, O Lord, for I am in trouble. My eye wastes away with grief, yes, my soul and my body. For my life is spent with grief, and my years with sighing. My strength fails because of my iniquity, and my bones waste away. I am a reproach among all my enemies, but especially among my neighbors, and am repulsive to my acquaintances. Those who see me outside flee from me. I am forgotten like a dead man, out of mind. I am like a broken vessel. For I hear the slander of many. Fear is on every side, while they take counsel together against me. They scheme to take away my life. But as for me, I trust in you, O Lord. I say, you are my God. You are my God. In verse 23, O love the Lord, all you his saints, for the Lord preserves the faithful and fully repays the proud person. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart, all you who hope in the Lord. Be of good courage, he will strengthen your heart. God certainly did strengthen David's heart in that trial that he was going through that lasted for quite a while. And he was inspired to write this to us, to be of good courage. God recorded it for us, brethren. David went through it, but we all go through our own trials, don't we? And there are times where we can feel like David, that it's just too much, that I am a broken vessel. But God will strengthen us. Psalm 105, if you'll turn with me to Psalm 105, since we're fairly close, in verse 4. David writes, seek the Lord and his strength. Seek his face forevermore. Seek his face evermore. Do you seek God and his strength? Are you on your knees asking God for strength? Strength so that you can keep moving forward, so that you can endure, so that you can deal with what you have to deal with and get through. The strength that you need to stay on track and to get to the end of the race. We need strength from God, brethren. And that strength must be renewed on a continuing basis, just like our physical strength must be renewed on a continuing basis with physical food. We must stay connected to God and seek Him and pray to Him and ask for strength, because God will give it to you. In Isaiah chapter 40, he writes about this as well, verse 28 through 31. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 28. Have you not known, Isaiah was inspired to write and to understand, have you not known, have you not heard, the everlasting God, the Lord, the Creator of the ends of the earth, neither faints nor is weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the weak, and to those who have no might, he increases strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. they shall walk and not faint. God will renew your strength, brethren. We need to pray daily for strength, for inner strength that comes by God's Spirit within us. In Ephesians chapter 3, verse 16, if you'll turn there with me. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 16. Paul writes that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might through his Spirit in the inner man, to be strengthened by God's Holy Spirit in your mind, to be strong with God's power, so that you can continue moving forward. In Philippians 4, which is close by here, verse 11 through 13, Paul learned this lesson. Because like David, he went through a great deal as well in his ministry. He writes in Philippians 4, verse 11, "Not that I speak in regard to need, for I have learned in whatever state I am to be content. I know how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I have learned both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." Because Christ was with him by the Holy Spirit within Paul. The same Spirit, brethren, that is within you and within me. That same Spirit, God's Spirit, that strengthened Paul to suffer what he went through, that strengthened David and Isaiah and others, is within you as well. Ask God, brethren, daily for inner strength through his Spirit, that that strength would be renewed so that you can stay on track and that you can please God and fulfill your calling to grow and be prepared. Do you pray for that renewal daily? And I ask myself, are we learning to depend on God for strength? Do we realize, brethren, that we can't make it without God's help? And we live in the end times. We don't know how much time we have left. But what may be coming is going to be incredible, and we will need God's strength, because there's no way we can get through it without it. Learn the lesson to ask God daily for inner strength. Well, brethren, I hope you'll think about these four aspects of renewal by God's Holy Spirit that are facilitated by daily contact with God. I hope you will repent daily of your sins and ask God to cleanse and heal you spiritually, and that you would ask him for inner strength daily. These things and others that we'll look at next time must be renewed on a continuing basis as we move forward in our development, in our preparation for God's family. If we neglect this daily renewal by not seeking God in prayer, if we let down, we will in time become spiritually run down and weak, even emaciated spiritually. And this is very dangerous. We cannot allow that to happen, because the enemy is out there looking for whoever he can take out of God's first fruits. We are God's first fruits, and we are holy. As David wrote in Psalm 86 that we read earlier, we are holy because of God's Spirit within us and the calling that he has given to us. We cannot allow ourselves to become spiritually weakened and vulnerable Now, we spent a lot of time in the Psalms, brethren. Let's finish there in Psalm 109, verse 3 and 4. And I actually remembered to leave this in Psalm 51, but Psalm 109, verse 3 and 4. Let's finish there. Psalm 109, verse 3 and 4. David writes, "They have surrounded me with words of hatred and fought against me without a cause. In return for my love, they are my accusers. But I give myself to prayer. I give myself to prayer." I hope, brethren, that you will give yourself to prayer so that you can be renewed continually.